one way. You're the only one that I could live for. What about die for? What about die for? We've seen that in the book of Acts, particularly to a mother's passing. And we've had three, as I mentioned, in our congregation very recently, associated with those in our congregation, passing. The Christians came to use the imagery of the Israelites passing over the Jordan River into the Promised Land as an image of passing through death into the Promised Land, the promised presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's taken up in this song here that Rex is going to be singing. Listen to some of the words here. When death comes knocking on the door of a mother who believes in Christ, she buckled up her shoe. She moved on down to that Jordan stream. And the idea is she's ready to pass over. That's because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Rex? Hope for heaven comes by the grace of God. And the Word of God is the Word of grace, the good news of Jesus Christ. We've just sung, Lord, help me to hear. Help me to take it in. Hear the Word of the Lord that Peter spoke to the same council in Jerusalem that Stephen had come before. Peter's called before because the Lord Jesus Christ has done a healing through Peter in the temple where he's raised up a crippled man. And that leads Peter to launch into a message about the saving work of Jesus Christ. And again, that ruffles some boundaries here, and they call him in. They want to know, what are you doing here? And Peter replies, it says he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says to them, and he says to us now, afresh, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, and there is salvation, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus, the stone that was rejected but raised up by God, the only one in whom we have salvation, comes by the grace of God. In Acts chapter 15, later on, there's a question. Do the Gentiles become part of God's family the same way that believing Jews do through faith in Christ and that alone? And Peter says this, but we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus just as they will. The grace of God. One of those who opposed the Christians, to begin with vehemently so, was Saul, who became known as Paul. Paul becomes the greatest missionary of the early church. And in Acts 20, verse 33, he says to the Ephesian elders as he's making his last trip to Jerusalem, ultimately to go to Rome as a prisoner, he says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those whom are sanctified. The word of grace, it's by grace that we've been saved. Through faith. Not in ourselves, Paul will later say. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Jessica will be coming up and may already be up and singing a song, The Rock of Your Salvation. Keep in mind, Jesus is the stone. He's the rock. Part of the words of this say, you're reaching deep within this darkness, deep within this sadness, and saving me by grace. The hope of heaven, the hope of life now, the hope of having God with you is by sheer grace. We don't earn it. We don't put God in our debt for it. It's by the grace of God. Listen to Jessica now as she sings The Rock of Your Salvation. That will express our love to him and also share that love with one another as we bring the needs of our congregation before the Lord. So a time that we set aside our tithes and our offerings to the Lord as well. We have a slot in the back that for that. We don't pass a plate, but we do that dedication during the service, and then we follow that with the prayers for one another. Let's pray together now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rock of our salvation, for Jesus Christ, pure love. You love the world so much that you sent your beloved Son, your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that life that is in Christ is a life that is breathed out in love into our hearts from you, by you, through Christ. We thank you for that, Father. And as you have provided for us, and as we bring our offerings and tithes to you today, we pray that you would use those to, through this church and through the ministries that we support, that you would bring others that good news as well and breathe life into them, love into them. We thank you, Father, that you care for our daily needs and you care for our pains and our hurts and our brokenness, as we've heard in a couple of songs now and as we've sung. And we pray for those in our church family who have recently lost dear loved ones. We thank you that those ones have gone and passed on to the other side in the Lord and are in your presence now. We pray for Tony Babnick and his family as they mourn the loss of his mother, Father. Give them strength at this time and pull them together as a family. We pray for Mike Staton and his family as they have recently lost Mike's mom as well. And we pray that you will, in the midst of this, give Mike and Ann and the family open doors to share the hope that there is in Christ with other family members, with other friends. May this be an opportunity for that, Father. Even as they grieve and mourn the loss of their mother, they know she's in your presence, but there's still that separation now. It's temporary and only temporary, but it is a separation. And the aches will be there. And so we pray for them, Father, that as they grieve together as family, that you will encourage them and strengthen them. And may they see that in you, all of their hopes and dreams and needs and yearnings are met. We pray that for Bill Haskey and his family too, Father, as they mourned the loss of his mother several weeks ago. And I know that was an unexpected homegoing at that time, but as Jeanette indicated last week in her testimony, that's in view of the greatest reunion that ever will be, when they are reunited with her in your presence. We have that hope of the gospel, Father. We have that hope of heaven, that hope of being in your presence with our loved ones who have died in the Lord. And we rejoice in that even as we grieve together. Father, we pray for Matthew and for his surrender of his life to Jesus. He's asking for that on a continual basis, and we pray that that will be so. We thank you, we praise you with him, Father, for your unconditional love. We also pray for Edgar, Father, newly in our congregation, a new child of God, but their car, Father, was crashed into sitting in their home this weekend, and they're without transportation. And we would pray, Father, that you would provide for them in this time of need. Thank you for George and his friendship with them, and George being instrumental in leading Edgar to Christ. We pray, Father, that as George has input into his life, that you will give George wisdom there. But we pray for your material provision for a vehicle for Edgar at this point. We pray for my wife's mother, Barb, too, Father, that you will encourage her and strengthen her as she is recovering from the stroke, and it's a long, slow road, and we pray that you will give her the determination that's needed for this, and we pray that you'll be with the medical people that are helping her with this, Father. We pray also, Father, for Doris Pagels as she recovers from her pacemaker that's been placed in her for her heart just recently. Thank you that she's able to be with us this morning. We give you praise for that and for the pacemaker, how that's making a difference for her already. But we pray for her recovery over the next several months, Father, and that her left arm and shoulder will be working and doing all it's supposed to be in the next few months. But help her to be wise in her recovery with that. So we commit all these things to you now, Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
From the inside out, what would the church look like if we truly lived that way? If we truly lived from the inside out, if God was truly changing our hearts, changing our minds, so that we embrace that and live that way. Well, in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37, we see part of what that looks like. Now, the full number of those who had believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who is also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The important thing is, it's not mine, it's not yours, it's God's. And because it's God's, it's ours. Do you see the significance of that? It's not mine, it's not yours, it's God's. And because it's God's, it's ours. You see, God will provide everything you need. God provides life for all. And by life, we're looking at the big picture. Yes, He provides the very air you breathe, but He also provides your clothing, your housing, your food, the people you come in contact with. Everything God provides. Everything we call life, God provides. So if you have a physical issue, emotional issue, if you have problems just coming into contact with people and connecting with people, God provides. And the majority of that provision is found in His church. In His church. It's within this community that those needs are to be met. Because everything that we have, everything that we have, that we are, that we could be, comes from Him. On our own, we're flawed, broken people. But you know what the wonderful thing about God is? He made everything. And so when something's broken, you take it to the guy who made it to fix it. And you know what? Each one of us is broken. And the only way we get fixed is to come to God. Because He is the one who provides life for all. And all that I have comes directly from Him. Caught up and focused about what our church is doing, about what's happening here, about the upcoming elections, about everything we focus on is in our culture and in our little hemisphere. Maybe we think wider and think of the United States. But how often do we think about what's going on in other parts of the world? How often do we think about Christianity and what's happening in Africa, in Europe, in Asia? Let love reach across to the other side. It doesn't mean reaching across the aisle to someone who's sitting over there. It means reaching across the world with your prayers. The church is being persecuted, and yet we worry about putting gas in the car. The church is being persecuted, and we worry about making it home on time to see the football game. People are being burned at the stake. They're being pulled out of their homes and shot. Kids are being taken away from parents so that the children can be re-educated. I have a professor who goes to the Sudan, usually once or twice a year, and he teaches a conference that's hidden in location, and it's for pastors because there's so much persecution. They can't keep the same times. They can't keep the same places. And during the course of the week that he spends there teaching pastors, less and less people show up. And it's not because they don't want to learn. It's because these pastors are literally snatched off the street on their way to the conference. And some of them will never see their families again. And we worry about such small things. And we forget what's going on in the church, in the world. But God doesn't forget. God provides the strength we need. In Acts chapter 16, I'm going to read from verses 25 through 31. This is when Paul is in jail in Philippi. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all of the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Now, the reason he did that is if the prisoners had escaped, he would have been kept accountable. And he and all of his soldiers and their families would have been killed. So he was sacrificing himself to save his family and to save the soldiers' families. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Now for us, the miraculous thing is that these walls fell down and the chains were opened. But the real miracle is that they were praising God in jail. Think about that. You get pulled over and you get a ticket and you're trying not to swear. These guys are in jail, possibly with their lives on the line, and they're singing and praising God. You see, God provides strength. He provides strength for prisoners. And not everything that we think of, not everything that we think of as a prison is necessarily a prison, but a lot of things we don't think of as a prison are prisons. Circumstances can be a prison. Having to take care of someone can be a prison. The daily grind of work can sometimes be a prison. And you feel caught up in it. But you have to realize that God will provide the strength you need to make it through that day, to make it through every day, as long as you're willing to come to Him. You have to believe that God will provide the strength you need. You just have to believe in Him and know that your strength comes from Him. That's what Mike is going to be singing about.
Be seated. God's provision in Christ for all people. Hope for heaven, which comes by grace for salvation, which gives life for all and strength for prisoners. And also beauty for brokenness. Beauty for brokenness. Yesterday was the commemoration of the anniversary of 9/11, where a couple of buildings, several buildings were literally broken. People's lives were shattered and broken, and a nation was broken. That brokenness also led Doris Pagels to Cornerstone on the Sunday that followed it, been with us ever since. Beauty for brokenness. In Acts chapter 19, when Paul is in the city of Ephesus, the Spirit of God, the gospel of God, of Christ, is moving very powerfully, so powerfully that it brings about a very deep repentance and change in the people there. And there's a very strong encounter with the superstitions and with various things there, and the gospel shows its power. And it says, "And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all people. And they counted the value of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily." There was a brokenness that a conviction of sin brought about, and that brought about a transformation of life as the faith in Christ worked its way into their lives. In the song that Judy's about to sing, "Better Than a Hallelujah," part of the line goes like this: "We pour out our miseries, God just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are. The honest cries of breaking hearts are better than a hallelujah." Listen very carefully as Judy sings, "Better than a hallelujah." Of the Lord, the book of Acts ends with the Apostle Paul in prison, but welcoming everyone who came to him and proclaiming the kingdom of God, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we leave here today and throughout this week, you go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Hope for heaven, grace for salvation, life for all, strength for prisoners, beauty for brokenness. That's what God gives us in Christ. That's what He gives us. Don't forget the picnic following about 12:30. I think the food will be ready. Don't forget to sign up for the small group Bible studies. And don't forget the day of prayer and fasting tomorrow for the Upright Review and the Rex Carroll concert. But now, until we meet all together again next Sunday morning, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, all those who are God's people. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to God be the glory. Amen.